With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
You might have got a little clue about what we're doing based on that, but let's get this out of the way. I'm nothing if not a fair man. So we play, understandably, we play and we celebrate the Mets when they win. I'm sorry, I'm going to drag you kicking and screaming.
I hate this. Why are we doing this?
Because we get texts from people who basically have been pretty civil. There's a lot of Cub fans in this area, and they're playing the Mets.
I lost a bet because of this.
And the Mets are, I'll give you a tease. You got to listen to Andy's show. Did he play the thing from Crean for you?
Which one?
Oh, my God. It's just 16 seconds of him giggling.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, it's quality sound. So you'll want to tune in for that, if nothing else. But, I got texts from people.
I want two pizzas now.
Texts from people who say, the Cubs, yay Cubs, Cubs, Cubs. I still think the Mets song is better.
Yes, it is.
It's much shorter. We can play the whole thing, basically. That's not true. We don't play the second verse. We're not playing this whole song. It's like 4 minutes long. But this is for you. We care about all our listeners. So have your fun. The Mets, again, last night, give up a touchdown in the first inning, and they wanted to get to their credit, though. They don't quit. They just keep playing. They got it to 10-7, but they lost. The Cubs have now beaten them back-to-back games. They've opened up a four-game lead on them in the wild card. So here it is, Cub fans. This is for you. Go ahead.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day.
That's about all I got in me, too.
To be the best in the National League. Well, this is the year and the Cubs are real. So come on down to Wrigley Field.
One more.
We're singing now.
Go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
Of course they are.
Go Cubs, go.
Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life. Because the Mets are really sucking the ball.
Don't write down,
Don. Home runs over the wall. East side, west side. Everybody's going down to meet the Mets, Mets of New York Town.
That's
tonight,
a song.
Jacob DeGrom on the hill for the Mets. They are minus 190. That's a pretty big favorite in baseball. Laying a run and a half, taking on John Lester. So we'll see if they can at least salvage a game, cut the lead back to three. So congratulations for the Cubs fans who had their fun the first two nights. But maybe the Mets will get it back in order. And I don't know.
The season series, though.
Noah Syndergaard had been playing, pitching great, and then last night all of a sudden he decided to throw batting practice. That was bizarre.
No, he tried to throw underhand.
But DeGrom, he's been pitching well. So the Mets, though, won't score any runs, so maybe they'll try and win one half to nothing. That's why it says minus a run and a half. That assumes they'd score two runs. That's a big if.
Because in the 15th inning, they just do rock, paper, scissors.
Hey, speaking of Mets, that always reminds me, of course, my love for the Mets.
Can you, can you go solo for a sec?
No, because this is actually a very important part of your
me?
Yes, you're part of this.
Okay, all right.
Why? What are they taking it from?
No. That's our new football magazine.
Oh, good. Okay, well, that's nice. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. They can handle it. I don't know if you know this. You are the luckiest person when it comes to making selections sometimes. We generally tease you have bad luck when you pick things, but this is unbelievable. I don't even think you know this. You know, we are English Premier League fans based on very, very slivers of information. I root for Liverpool because the Beatles are from Liverpool. Nick roots for Arsenal because he loves their nickname,
the Gunners. They have a cannon. It reminds me of Monopoly.
You don't even. You got to go to ESPN and read this article. It is a fascinating article because the reason I love the Mets, I root for all New York teams, but I'm a little partial to the Mets over the Yankees. I root for the Yankees too, but I root for the Mets probably a little more. Is largely because of one El Señor Met for our Deportes fans, the best mascot in all of sports. Did you know? The mascot for Arsenal was voted the best football mascot in the world in a poll by fans. He's a dinosaur called Gunnosaurus Rex.
Oh, man, we got to pull this up.
And there's a great article about him on ESPN.com. It's by a guy who worked as a mascot in Canada. He says the same things you did. I was going to quote the article. It's hilarious. He talks about how the life of a mascot is often very difficult. He was beat within an inch of his life by a group of first graders in Western Canada when he played a beaver.
Right.
He played a beaver for the state park system in Canada, and he talked about he was always hot. His big fear was his head was so big he couldn't see his feet, which made it hard to walk. He was very afraid he was going to, because he was always in state parks and country, national parks and stuff, that he was going to fall into like a river. And since his face was always perpetually painted on as a giant smile, people would see him in there flailing and think he was waving at them. And they'd wave back to him as he was going under and drowning in the river just with a giant smile on his face.
Oh, he's kind of cute.
There he is. Gunnosaurus Rex was in 1993. And the league, they said, the guy, you got to read the article, the guy who invented it, he claims he invented it. In fact, that's his credibility that he did. It was an 11-year-old kid in 1993. They had a contest to devise a mascot, and he drew it up. And he's got the drawings to this day. And it certainly looks credible. And he explained how he was motivated. That was when Jurassic Park had come out. He was inspired by dinosaurs. And so he drew this thing, and the team adopted it. But the guy who wrote the article said, first of all, it's easier to find out information about like who the mascot is and stuff than it is probably, it's easier to get to the royal family than it is the team, guards, the story, and the history, and everything, because it's shrouded, supposedly, what they claim, which is a great, cool thing to do. They claim that when they were doing renovations or building something in 93, they uncovered this big, gigantic block of dirt. And they didn't know what it was. They were afraid it might be a leftover bomb from the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And so very gradually, they took layer upon layer out, and they realized it was an egg, and it was still warm. And they didn't know what to do, and so they waited, and from that egg emerged this
Gunnosaurus
little
Rex.
Baby dinosaur. And then he grew into be 7 feet tall, and that's the story. And that's the story, and they're sticking to it. So the guy goes along with it, the guy who wrote the article. It's a charming article at ESPN.com. The point behind it is I did not know that the team you picked of all things would have the best soccer mascot in the, you did a fan poll in the world, not just
that's
in
awesome.
English Premier League, in the world, the best one in the world. So it's a great article at ESPN.com. Gunnosaurus Rex. Now you absolutely are doubling down on that franchise, I'm sure.
There's also
it's on ESPN.com. It's called Gunnosaurus, the untold story of Arsenal's mascot, Chris Jones, special to ESPN. And he talks about the paragraph about when he said everybody loves him over there, which is amazing. The kids, they direct him like Mr. Met over here. But he said there the article that I got, the piece of the article I got to laugh at was that there are there's a certain segment of the population that takes great pleasure in watching mascots suffer. A certain segment of the population takes deep pleasure in watching mascots suffer. I was once set upon by a group of first graders who beat me within an inch of my natural human life. I had nightmares that I would fall into a nearby canal and nobody would try and rescue me because they would see that I was smiling and would confuse my frantic pawing at the air for waving. The white of my beaver teeth, each the size of a book, would be the last they would see when I disappeared into the murky water.
It's so true.
But he's talking about how they love, the kids go crazy for this guy, and he's very kind. He goes out of his way to, he's special affinity for people in wheelchairs. He gives them gigantic hugs. And Chris Jones, even though he's a grown-up, went and hugged the mascot and talks about it in the story.
That's awesome.
It's a great story. So there you go. Gunnosaurus Rex. So now we have two of the best mascots in sports.
You got a solid one, too, Liverpool. Oh. It looks like a cardinal bird or a pterodactyl. That. I can't really tell.
I don't get involved in any mascots because it would just embarrass them to be compared to Mr. Met.
Or Gunnosaurus Rex.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable.
There's a video that I saw, and it was like a mascots game playing like Powder Puff football, and they are just, you could tell that these mascots are getting off years of frustration on this team of like, I don't know, like 12-year-olds.
Oh, I saw that. Is that when they beat the crap out of the kid? I saw that. That was awful.
I got to be honest, the kids, I give the kids credit, they keep playing, but they were getting wrecked.
I was embarrassed for the mascots. What were they doing?
Get it?
This was their revenge for all the children.
I was a Clifford the Big Red Dog for 2 days, and it took me 2 years to blink in unison.
Yeah. Well, that's the life you choose, but not if you're Mr. Met or if you're Gunnosaurus Rex. What a great name, too. Gunnosaurus Rex. The Liverpool mascot is called Mighty Red. Yeah, he's all right. It's okay. He's not bad. He looks a little bit like he's a distant cousin of the Louisville Cardinal Bird. He looks like he's a little related to Louis, perhaps. Wow. Sorry, Birdhead Ryan, who so enthusiastically responded gleefully to our playing the Cubs song, is being shouted down by other listeners, many of whom are not Cubs or Mets fans, but at least they appreciate the Mets song, said, "This is really, really awful, like most things about the Cubs." Wow, that's one. Next one says, "Wow, that Cubs song was almost as bad as the Florida Marlins song." I don't even know what song they have. This one says, "As a St. Louis Cardinals fan, can't we squash the Mets-Cubs thing and just play Hey St. Louis since we will actually make the playoffs?" Oh, that, see, that's the guy who has to wedge himself into the discussion. Calm down, Junior. You'll be in, but one of the Mets or the Cubs might both be in, too, so you don't know. Gee. Sorry, right.
Not the Miami guy. Miami guy, I'm pretty sure he's not going to make the playoffs.
No, I think they were eliminated May 3rd. I'm pretty sure. Derby Day, Marlins eliminated from the postseason.
I'd actually like to know that when the earliest was somebody was eliminated from the playoffs. So I think the Reds were like eliminated like mid July, like barely
earliest
after the
team ever eliminated from postseason. That's not going to come up, I'll bet. You'll have to do some digging, but let's go see. That would be amazing. Because I know the Knicks certainly have to be in that discussion. Here we go. I found no list of earliest eliminations. Amazing. People can find this stuff. The 1899 Cleveland Spiders. I've got to put them in my Stratomatic game because I think the 62 Mets might be able to do well with them. The 1899 Cleveland Spiders played 154 game schedule and were 49 games out with 50 to go on August 14th. But, of course, also in the discussion, you heard it, the 1962 New York Mets. They were eliminated on August 10th. They were 48 and a half games out with 49 to play. Yes, sir. That's impressive. Wow. The Orioles are on this list, one of the Orioles teams. Speaking of the Orioles, how entertaining are they now? That's got to help, because they're not beating anybody. They suck. But they get, if you go, you might get an impromptu. It's like going to the fans who like hockey for the fighting. The Orioles had another fight in the dugout last night. You see that? Can't we all just get along? That's impressive that they not only are bad, they hate each
how
other.
How bad are they?
They're so bad that they're confused when the guy says, "We got to go out there and fight." They say, "Okay," and they punch the guy next to them. 1899 Cleveland Spiders. Let's see what their overall record was. They were, come on, give me the record here. Their regular season, they finished. How hard is it to find the damn record? The team's longest winning streak was two games, which they accomplished against the Philadelphia Phillies and
the New York Mets.
No, Louisville.
Oh, Louisville.
The Mets didn't exist until 1962.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My bad.
They finished 20. Oh, my God. They finished 20-134. The Mets were a powerhouse compared to them. The Mets were 40-120, doubled their win total. Mets could stomp.
Wow.
That's really hard to be that bad. They trailed at the end of the season when the final standings came out. They were 84 games out of first place.
So almost an entire NBA season.
This gets even better. They were 35 games behind the team that was just ahead of them, the 11th place team in the standings. They were 12th. They finished 35 games out of 11th. Yeah, that's bad. Based on the numbers, the number crunchers that baseball people do, if you took their stats right now with the current 162-game schedule, their record projects out to 25-137. I have got to put them in my game, let the Mets open with them. So the 62.
That's
Mets.
Really bad.
That's quality. It's so mean, but I have to laugh. This is verbatim the text we got. Ready? Cubs suck, Mets suck, Knicks suck, Jets suck. This is not condescending, just an accurate statement. Except that's fair. Not accurate. The Cubs and the Mets do not suck. The Knicks definitely suck. The Jets, the jury's still out on. We'll see. I'm not sure about that.
This station might have the most Jets fans out of any...
This station has Jets
you,
fans?
You, me, Biscuit, Cooper. Yeah. That's four. That's I don't think point. Anyone
that's
else
more than
has...
probably in New York. No, that's not true. Let's see. This one says, how about speaking about mascots? I played Bobber, the water safety dog, when I was a park ranger for a summer. Hottest Bobber. I've ever been in my life, even with a fan and ice packs. My worst experience, and I know this is true, kids running up to hug me, no way to protect a certain area.
Oh, yeah.
Their head is perfect size to just jump in a jewelry box there and cause some pain. Yeah, that's a bad thing.
That's all of it's bad.
You can't see very well. I know that.
No, so
you don't know they're coming,
surprise.
And all of a sudden you just ba-boom. That's why they need the all-day cup.
Yeah, an all-day cup would definitely
help. I'm telling
you,
that should be a marketing thing. We'll come back. I want to talk a little about the matchups this weekend and point spreads and some thoughts. And
Laura Overton will join us at 12:40.
Okay, that'll be good. So
Larry Vaught
at 1.
At 1.
All right, so we'll take a break. Not too.
Don't get those mixed up. Don't call her Larry Overton, and don't call.
That's funny because that's almost her name. If you change the A at the end to a Y,
right?
So they would have the same name.
You just got to trade. You got to trade vowels. Well, sometimes a vowel.
Well, sometimes vowels are A, E, I, O, U, and sometimes Y.
Someone told me X was. As well,
yeah, that's
like very, very.
I told you not to hang out with those people. Those people, you know why they said that?
Why?
Because they were wrong. We'll take a break and we'll come back. It's ESPN 680 105.7.
Wait, what? Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano. This Sports Center update brought to you by our friends at Great Flood Brewing Company, Louisville made and brewer owned. To the college gridiron, on the blue side of things, Mark Stoops, he's given a restructured contract this morning that includes a raise of $500,000 per year in each of the six remaining years on his current contract. Meaning what? Well, that's guaranteed money for Coach Stoops. The change replacing a clause that awarded Stoops $250,000 per win, starting with the seventh win in a season. Now that extra money does not go into effect until win number 9 in a given season. To the UofL side of things, yesterday, the UofL Notre Dame line moved to 19. Today, the Irish are 18-point favorites. Still Brian Kelly, he's not looking past the cards, especially the environment down here.
Environment at Louisville, and they have high expectations. So we're going to be prepared for that. The stadium is one where there'll be an exciting crowd there. It is a football town. It is a great stadium to play in. So our guys will be ready to play in an electric atmosphere.
Atmosphere aside, the Cards are still a little undersized, and that's something that's worrying Yahoo's Pat Forty, who joined the take with Andy Sweeney yesterday.
Man, they are very small. Very, very small. And I know in general Scott Satterfield's going to want a speed-based defense, but you go into a season like this, and that's asking for trouble to me.
Just a reminder, Monday, all of our programs at ESPN Louisville will air, taking you to kickoff at 8 p.m. between the Irish and the Cards. Baseball, the Reds, they beat the Marlins last night 5-0. More B-Show next. This is SportsCenter.
Broadcasting live from the Papa John's studios, keep it locked on the V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
The show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
No, it's chicken. It's not Melantoni Monday or Witch Wednesday. It's a day for chicken. Tell the people about the chicken.
Okay. Wing Zone.
There you go. What about it?
It's tasty.
You don't have a read either, do you?
I'm just trying to pull it up. Brace you.
Well, good luck, because I'm trying to find
it's
something.
It's really yummy.
Here.
You can get, like...
It's really yummy, thanks. That's the kind of endorsement that they
have. No, they got delicious... those potato wedges are dangerous.
You say podiatrists. They got delicious podiatrists.
No, why would I say delicious
I don't know. You say crazy things sometimes.
But I say things that crazy?
No. No, you don't.
That a food sponsor has great foot doctors?
Yes, I made that completely up. I just was just...
That seems a bit much.
I was spinning in the wind there.
But you know what? If I did have the read, I would say this.
Okay.
Thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone catering to the studios.
To the studios.
I don't know. I always cracks me up. Echo Man.
I love Echo Man.
Thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone catering to the studios. Try the.
You never know when he's going to jump in either. That's special. Why he's great. Echo Man is great because you're never quite sure.
Right.
He lurks.
ESPN Louisville special. 10 boneless wings.
10 boneless wings.
Wedges and a drink for just $9.39.
39 cents.
Just mentioned ESPN Louisville. That's good. 7 days a week. Also.
Also.
Four Thigh Wings for just
$2.99. $2.99.
Limited time only.
Yeah.
Limited time only.
Thank you.
Two area locations in Louisville. Hess Lane. Near U of L. And Hunsinger Lane.
Hunsinger!
In Hikes Point. Order online, wingzone.com. Wings, burgers, flavor.
Awesome. Awesome. It's not X that's a vowel. It's W.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. W. Yeah.
When is W a vowel?
I don't know. Text in the word, listeners. We got smart listeners sometimes.
I was Tony the Tiger once at a grand opening for a Circuit City. I know it didn't make sense to me either. Hot as hell in that inflated suit, but able to get through it by scaring little kids all day. Easy $100.
Oh my God!
What? Let's see. I worked as the gorilla for TNT Motorsports, based here in Louisville. 1 year was hot and stinky, but I did get to ride in a monster truck smashing cars. So that's tasty.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Who are these guys? Texting in. I want to be friends with you. Dress up as mascots. Get into danger. I think I just described
beat the Mets.
Furries.
Beat the Mets. Step right up and sweep the Mets. Not a fan of either, but I fringe feel bad for Noah, if that gives you a clue as to who I pull for. All right.
A little bit
for the Mets. Scott Stapp from Creed made a song called Marlins that will...
Yeah.
It's so bad, you have to listen to it. Very comical, especially if you know anything about baseball.
I think we played this either on the Zone. Scott Stapp was like an ongoing thing on Fridays with Jason. Andy, Jason, and Magic.
We got a lot to do here, and I'm not going to get to it here. We're going to have to save some of the stuff for after Lara. But the,
and then Larry. You have Laura and then Larry.
Yeah, so we got a lot of stuff.
Don't mess that up.
But here's what, and this is not going to be really good news for Louisville fans. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry about this.
It's also a Brian Kelly sound.
Well, I'm not sorry about that. It's fine to listen to Brian Kelly. He speaks English. But here's the thing. That
if he didn't, that'd be a problem.
Kind of a waste, wouldn't it? Guy comes on. What the hell is that? People would be like, what are you doing?
Bobby V hates foreigners. 437-968.
That's it. Build a wall. 58 was Louisville Sagarin rating last year. 58.4. I'm going to get into this in more depth later, but this is what I do every year, and I haven't done it yet, and that's go through each team's. I did this for a while. It's not completely scientific by any stretch, but football Sagarin ratings don't drastically change from year to year. It's the nature of, I mean, they do significantly in one regard, that if you see a big change, it may be as, really, very rarely, it may be as much as 10 points. Usually it's somewhere between 5 points, five better or five worse. That's usually the case. So, I mean, the teams that are the best teams are there again. The teams at the end of last year's Sagarin ratings were Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma, Michigan, Notre Dame. Who's picked to be powerful this year in college football? Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Oklahoma, Michigan. So it doesn't change much. So what I found is you can get a pretty good guess at what the team's record's going to be if you just extrapolate. Now, you got to use some subjectivity. You kind of say, okay, you think they'll be a little better. I'm going to increase their Sagarin by five. I think they're a little worse. I'll decrease it by five, whatever it may be. And so I would go through that. And for about 6 years, for Louisville and Kentucky, I either hit their records right on the head or was one game off. You know, like I would predict 7-5, it'd be 8-4 or something like that. So I thought it had some value, and I still do. But anybody who breaks down statistics will tell you they're the outliers. And last year's Louisville's record was an outlier. They went from a Sagarin rating the year before in the, I think, high 70s to 58. That I've never, literally never seen that before in the year, in charting these things. So take it with a grain of salt. But if that were the case, if that were not Louisville, and this is the point I was making, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm rooting for Louisville, all that, but I mean, the simple fact of the matter is we're doing what we do when we break down numbers. If it weren't Louisville, if it were Joe Jablonski Tech and Notre Dame were playing them, coming off of a year in which they were in the playoff with an 87 Sagarin rating, and Louisville's coming off a year with a 58 Sagarin rating, the simple fact of the matter, and the fact is, it's, I don't know, Louisville may, by the end of the year, Sagarin rating go up, but it's going to be hard to think they're a whole hell of a lot better now. They lost some players to attrition. They really didn't have a chance to recruit much. They're all adjusting to a new system. I mean, the guy's still talking about how he's got to teach them to play hard. I mean, you want to be optimistic? Go ahead and give them a couple 3 points to 61. Is Notre Dame going down much from their 87? I don't think so. So you're talking about a possible close to 30-point game. Even if you think there's a big home field advantage, and that, you know, we'll say there's great fans here, but the home field advantage only equates to 2 points a game. So you're staring at a margin on paper. If nothing changed from last year, it would be a 27-point margin. And the last I checked, the betting spread was 18.5. I'm just saying that would be a game where you, if we were doing our thing where I do the Sagarins every Friday, this would be a 3-star play for Notre Dame. I'm sorry. But again, I always give disclaimers. The first week, we don't know. We're doing, I don't know how the computer could know a whole hell of a lot about these teams. They haven't taken a snap yet. But as I said, the computer probably does in a more scientific way what I was suggesting, which is you look at years past about how much of adjustment is made to a Sagarin rating from the year prior, and then it gives you a pretty good educated guess about what the separation would be. And what I said was, if it weren't Louisville, you know, if it weren't Louisville and your heart weren't in this thing, and Notre Dame, like let last year, here's a perfect example. The teams that Louisville were surrounded by in the Sagarins at the end of last season, they were 58. Dartmouth was 57. Okay, Samford, S-A-M, not Stanford. Samford was 56. Weber State was 58. If Notre Dame were to open with Dartmouth, what would you think they would beat them by? I mean, you would think that that would be the first, 35. You would think that that would open the season like they do. Nationally ranked team against a non-nationally ranked team, you know, with about a mid-50s Sagarin rating. That's one of those games that starts the season, you know, 52-10 or something. I'm just saying that's so to me, what I'm worried about from Louisville's fans' point of view is I still get people texting me that think that there's going to be a drastic turnaround this year, and I'd be delighted if it were, but I think it's really, really far-fetched, and I'm afraid for Scott Satterfield's sake, and he's a big boy and he's being well compensated, he'll deal with it, but they go, oh, this guy, and it's not going to be this guy. It's going to be, you could have, I don't know, pick the best architect you can think of. If you dropped them in the middle of London after the Second World War when the city was burned out and expect in a week to have the skyline rebuilt, you'd say, well, that's crazy. It's going to take time. Yes, exactly. It's going to take time here. It is definitely going to take time. It was amazing how the thing completely imploded last year, and he's not fixing it in a year, and he's not wired to try and take shortcuts to do that. He's building it brick by brick. But as I said, if you strip all that away, and this was an opening game between Notre Dame and Youngstown State, which is, you know, not far from Louisville in last year's Sagarin ratings. Notre Dame opening on this season with, let's see who's in the 50s here. They played Tulsa. Tulsa's a perfect example. Tulsa was 3-9 last year with a 57.9 Sagarin ring. They're one spot below Louisville and the Sagarins. If again, now you see you have no emotional investment with Tulsa. What would you think the final score of that game would be? I would think that you would say they're going to beat them by 35 or 40 points. I'm just saying. So it's. I feel for the coaching staff. I feel for the players. I hope they don't lose faith after 1 week. It'd be great if they come out and they, you know, put a great game together, and then they call in next Tuesday and say, "See, we told you. You okay? Great." I'm just saying that the numbers and history and examining these things, it doesn't bode well that it will be a very competitive game. That's all. But again, it's going to be and I just hope nobody gets seriously hurt, because that's the other thing. That would have long lasting ramifications. So now I don't know how he does this, but just as, because again, my guess is he takes the computer and does what I'm suggesting I've been doing. You look at trends and you look at past years and blah, blah, blah. But if you look at the Sagarin ratings for this year, he has Sagarin ratings out for this year, even though nobody's, except for a couple teams, have taken a snap yet. Notre Dame is an 86.5 Sagarin rating. See, that's what I mean. They are essentially where they were last year. Louisville is, let's see if he's moved them up. He's moved them. He gave them a 7-point adjustment up. That's a lot. That's great. Maybe that's factored in by the coaching staff. I think that would be, if he does that, then you will say, Scott Satterfield, you have done a masterful job. But even taking that into account, you know, that means it's still a 22-point game, roughly. So it's going to be a massive, massive challenge. Massive. We will see. I could not disagree with this more. If Brom were the coach at U of L, we'd be talking about going bowling. You could, but it wouldn't change anything that he would still be inheriting a program that was a mess. You can talk about going bowling now if you want to. We can actually go bowling if you'd like. I'll meet you at Strike and Spare. But that's the reality is, you know, he did it at Purdue. You know, you still, first of all, you got to let the Brom thing go. Secondly, every situation is unique. And, what he inherited at Purdue, I'd have to go back and look and see what the difference is. But if you watched even marginally at the end of the last year, it is very, very difficult to think that a couple of weeks in the preseason, they're going to, without any exhibition games, that suddenly they're going to come out and be a team that you'd be talking about going bowling. So we'll have to disagree. I don't, but that's the easiest kind of speculation now, because he's not here and it's going to be a rough year. And then you can throw your hands up and say, oh, if we had so and so, it'd be better. Go ahead if that makes you happy. But I don't think that's an accurate analysis of what's going on. Lara Overton? Yeah, we'll go to her next right here on the V Show on ESPN 680 1057.
Check it out now. I
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Well, my guess is it's been a rather busy week for our next guest, since the Colts have been all over the sports news landscape, and most notably one particular guy, Andrew Luck, Lara Overton, who now reports for the Colts, joins us to talk a little about it. Lara, the question on everybody's mind, thanks for doing this, is speculation here, because obviously you can't climb inside the guy's head, but Jacoby Brissett comes into this year expecting he's going to be the backup, and now all of a sudden he's thrust, and I got that. In the NFL, the backup quarterback is always one play away from being the starter, and they all have to be ready, but now he's definitely the guy that they've handed the reins to, and not just until Andrew Luck comes back, but it's his team. How is he perceived around the complex? What kind of a reputation does he have among his teammates, front office, media people? How is he regarded?
Well, you think about the fact that Jacoby Brissett has really taken all the first team reps since OTAs, since, you know, mini camp, and then through training camp in the preseason. So in terms of the reps that he has taken, he is, you know, certainly well suited to lead this offense given his familiarity and his comfort level. And the guys love him. I don't know if you saw last year when there started this trend of with the defense, whenever they would force a turnover, they would rush back into the end zone and they would kind of pose for these pictures. There was a celebration that they did, which is just indicative of how much fun this defense has playing together. Well, Jacoby Brissett would run back into those celebrations and jump in with them, because he would be throughout the week, you know, working with, you know, the defense in practices. So running, you know, scout team. And so he is, I mean, universally in that locker room, certainly, you know, well-regarded by his teammates. He loves to play, loves to have fun. So he is a very highly regarded, very well appreciated and thought of, you know, in that locker room. And he's been here now since 2017. So there's a strong bond that he has with those teammates being here now, you know, a second year under the Frank Reich system. So there's, in terms of his comfort level, his confidence in this locker room, his ability to rally this locker room, guys who believe in Jacoby, that is all very high.
How much will they change the stuff in their package, their strategies, their game plans for what he did as opposed to what Luck did or does?
This is actually something that I reported on before the Browns game. I asked offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni about that. What is the difference in the play calling in your, you know, game planning with one quarterback versus another? And he said, you know, it's the same playbook. You know, we're using the same set of plays. What they do allow their different quarterbacks to do, whether that's Jacoby, Chad, Phil Walker, is preference the plays and prioritize the plays that they want to run and when they want to run them, because so they're using the same body of work. It's just when that particular quarterback, you know, has certain plays that he likes to run and when he wants to utilize those. So not a drastic shift, and that's been Nick Sirianni's approach from the time that he came in. That's just how he runs his offense. He and Frank have obviously worked together for a long time, even prior to coming to Indy. They were out in San Diego together. So this is the system that they've been very comfortable with and that they have built, and that's something that they instill, and that's just how they implement all together. So not a drastic shift whatsoever.
It's a good football team still. With Luck, they were definitely considered a playoff team and a dark horse Super Bowl contender. Where do you think this team is now in your mind?
Well, you still have to think that the majority of the roster, the majority of your starters from the 2018 season are still back, even though you have a different starting quarterback. So there's a ton of cohesiveness. All of your starting offensive line returns. They've reinforced the defense by adding Justin Houston. They've, you know, draft picks. Then you also bring in Devin Funchess. I mean, guys on this defense like Rakia Sin and Bobby Okereke and EJ Speed bring a ton of depth. So there is cohesiveness, there is depth, and there is talent with this roster. So there is strong optimism for this season, strong optimism that they will start well. They've got back-to-back games on the road to start the season, so that'll be a great test you know, at LA and then at Tennessee and then a couple of games back home. So optimism is very high. The dynamic, I mean, the rapport between the guys in practice was high. The energy was high. I think that after what has been just, you know, it's kind of felt like a long off season from that playoff game in Kansas City up till now, guys are just really eager to start the season and really excited for the potential that is there.
Lara, it's always great to talk to you. We'll talk soon, and I appreciate the visit. We'll check in from time to time, maybe on a regular basis, as we are. We're going to try and do it every Thursday, my son.
All right.
So that'd be great.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm just going to make sure that we have our practice schedule set so I can avoid all of that and locker room availability, and then I'll be able to join you guys on Thursday with the best stuff leading into the weekend and into game day Sunday.
Well, we'll look forward to it, Lara. Thanks so much. Take care.
All righty. You too.
We are the home of the Colts, of course, here in Louisville, and we're also the home now for the Baltimore Ravens, so you can follow Lamar Jackson. So that's a really cool thing as well.
That reminds me.
What?
You might remember this clip. I'm totally ruining it. So say something.
Hi. I don't know where we're going, so I don't know
no,
what
no,
you...
Just don't worry. Yep. Nope. Ah, the hell with it. I can't find it.
Yeah.
Whatever. Roman's ruined.
Yeah. You guys said to me, why does it always sound like Nick is surprised by the start of every sports center and never ready with a sponsor's name?
Because I always forget to write it on the title. And then I have a list here of who the sponsor is, and then I have to find it on the sheet. And yes, thanks for listening, listener.
Yeah. Just making an observation.
No. I'm not even really mad at him. He's 1,000% right.
Boy, Nadia Comaneci grew up to be a beautiful woman. Do you even know who that is?
Yes, the lady who got the perfect 10.
Yes.
And she's turned into like a perfect 10.
She's beautiful. She does speaking now. And I was reading about the Colts and one of those things where, you know, they stick one of those little inserts in there, like the clickbait or whatever they call it. And why they would put that in a Colts article, I don't know, but they did.
But it was a clickbait thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one at the bottom.
Yeah.
It's hard to miss that one. Yeah.
Well, I was like, wow. She was a little tiny thing when she was in the Olympics, and now she's a very, very lovely woman. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and speak
with Larry Vaught.
Speak with another very lovely woman, Larry Vaught. That's the most nonsensical segue ever. Hang in there with us. We're back. Larry Vaught talking UK football.
He'd laugh at that.
He would. He's a good guy. He's good peeps. Stick around. ESPN Radio.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.